Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team. Only thing that's on my mind is who on this town
tonight. Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy, Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. Thursday edition. Vinny Bonsignor is with us per usual. We'll get to that conversation in a little bit. Had a good talk. We talked about the Rams waiving Farrell Cooper and the addition of CJ Anderson and Todd Gurley's health, Pro Bowl selections, and a look ahead to the Arizona game. So stay tuned for that coming up just in a few minutes. Make sure, guys, to go give us a follow. Instagram, Twitter, iTunes, Locked On Rams, all accounts. Pitch in if you got any questions for these guys, let me know. I'll try to make sure I can get as many as I can. Also, make sure to hit the subscribe button, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, or just ask Alexa or Siri to play Locked On Rams. It's pretty simple. Play podcast, Locked On Rams, and boom, hands free, we're on the go. Try it out, let me know. Well, as I said, we got a lot to get to today with Vinny Bonsignor. Was just kind of watching Sean McVay's press conference, and he was talking about CJ Anderson and his addition. We talk about it a little bit, but we didn't have the information from Sean McVay's press conference when we were talking earlier, and we were kind of asking how much we might see him this week. And McVay kind of played to that his role may be a little bit more involved this week than we all think so. I guess your options are a little limited if Todd Gurley, who didn't practice today, they said that, you know, they will play him if he's healthy enough. They're going to really just listen to him and his body and the trainers on that. And if he can play, he can play. McVay talked about they're still going out to win ball games, but they do want to make sure that it doesn't come at risk of losing a guy like Todd Gurley long term. So we'll keep an eye on that. He may not play in this game. I think he's going to tough it out a little bit near the end and make sure he gets in the game for at least a little bit. But you never know. I mean, couple games to go. We got a big playoff push. We really need him. So we'll see how that goes. But then that turns to John Kelly and newly acquired CJ Anderson, but Jared Goff talked about him in his press conference today as well and talked about how great of an addition it is. And, you know, you can tell right away he's a veteran guy. He went to Cal, so he's got that little connection with Jared Goff. And, you know, Goff mentioned watching him as he grew up. So it sounds like he's fitting in pretty well so far. And then Farrell Cooper. It wasn't long, and we talk about it on the podcast again. We didn't have this information yet, but was picked up by Arizona. So we may see Farrell Cooper this week. And I'm sure they are picking his brain right now on everything that's going on offensively and defensively. So we may see Farrell Cooper this week, but I'm happy for him. He's landing on his feet. Me and Vinny talked about what's next for him. And so obviously getting to join another team and hopefully get into a rotation and start to see some snaps at wide receiver. I mean, you know, you looked at that last play of the game against the Eagles and they take Todd Gurley out and they throw in Kadarius Hodge. So it kind of tells you where he was at and the chomping order there. And if there's no really real opportunity for him at wide receiver, you know, we always had Blake Countless and JoJo Natson to return kicks. So it just didn't have a real need for him at this point, which is unfortunate because he was a Pro Bowl player last year. And then as I'm talking about what we're talking about today on the show, we talk about Pro Bowls and selections and who got snubbed and whatnot. So a good one for you guys today. And then, of course, as always, I'm going to talk to you about how you have a chance to win 2019 Rams season tickets. So keep your ears open for that. But let's just get to it. My chat with Vinny Bonsignor earlier today. We'll be back tomorrow with Serena Morales, Hype Edition Friday. And next thing you know, we're playing football on Sundays. It's a beautiful thing, people. But you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time, peace. Enjoy my conversation with Vinny. All right, Rams Nation, we are back Thursday edition. That means Vinny Bonsignor. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter. The Athletic LA, he writes for them, so go check out a subscription. Great coverage, not only on NFL, but across the board, so go check that out. Vinny, how you doing today, bud?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, you know what? We're hanging in there. You know us. We got our venting out of the way. By the time that you get on the show here, we've kind of turned the page. But I'd love to get a couple of your thoughts from the game. We actually talked one of the tweets that you sent out earlier after the game, and it said, you know, it was the quietest locker room you've heard in a long time. So talk to me a little bit about this game and what that feeling was like afterwards.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of a wake-up call on Sunday, and the Rams just aren't playing very well right now. It was definitely, I thought, a wake-up call on Sunday night, you know, and the players that I've talked to and coaches that I've talked to, and no disrespect to the Bears or the Eagles, but there's a consensus that, you know, what's happened the last 2 weeks, a lot of it is just self-inflicted. And, you know, they're just not playing with the same sense of urgency, with the same edge, with the same efficiency, and that's reflected in the time that Jared Goff is getting to throw the ball, his effectiveness throwing the ball, Todd Gurley's effectiveness running the ball. There's too many penalties, there's too many turnovers. And I think that when you start looking at it from a broad perspective, when so much is kind of going wrong across the board, it just seems to be more of a kind of a mental thing. I did some research on some teams that went on to win Super Bowls, and it's interesting to me that six or five out of the last 10 teams that won the Super Bowl and six out of the last 10 Super Bowl participants all struggled in December. Every one of them, all six teams that I looked at, six of the 10 teams that I looked at were at 500 or below in the month of December. And there's some teams that had lost three games in December. One team, I think it was the Baltimore Ravens, lost four times in the month of December in their Super Bowl run. So there's something about that month, especially for teams that maybe had broken out in front a little bit early and kind of got things solidified earlier than most and maybe didn't have as much to play for come December. And I'm wondering if that's the case, you know, with the Rams. That said, they have to get it fixed. They have to get their urgency back and their efficiency back. And, you know, I think that they will. I really believe that they will. And I know that the guys in the locker room feel that they will. And they feel it's more on them than what other teams are doing. And if there's anything kind of silver lining to all this, it's that belief and that conviction that the answers are in that room, not outside of the room.
Yeah, I mean, they keep giving that message that they're fine and that they're not worried about this and they're going to step it up when the time is needed. And you talked about getting out to hot start. I mentioned it the other day, almost as if like this is like a racehorse that gets out of the gate and goes flying by everybody and then down the home stretch starts to get a little tired and also doesn't have anybody kind of right in their sights, and they lose a little bit of focus and people get caught up. But hopefully as we get to the finish line, they will fight in the playoffs and make a deep push. And you know, you talked about getting right. Got to get right now because you don't want to come into the playoffs. You know, you mentioned the Ravens losing those four games, but we would not want to go in limping into the playoffs and potentially give up a home playoff game. You're looking at our next couple of games. They're pretty easy. So, well, I mean, it's NFL. All games are going to be tough. But, you know, looking at the record-wise and what we've done in the past with those two teams, Cardinals and Niners, do you think that's an advantage that we're playing two lesser teams to kind of get our swagger back? Or do you think it's, in a weird way, maybe not prepare us for when that good team comes in the playoffs?
You know, I think we're beyond the point of you need to get prepared by playing a good team. This isn't high school football or college for that matter. Again, I think they feel like the answers are in their room. It's not about the opponents that they're playing or who they're playing. Now, it probably does help that, you know, in order to maybe get back on stride or build some momentum, they're playing a couple of teams that really have nothing to play for. In fact, they almost benefit by losing. And I'm not saying that they're going to throw games or anything like that. But, you know, you look at the Eagles, they're playing for their playoff lives last week. You look at the Bears. They were playing to win a division, their first division in years, in that game last or 2 weeks ago. So there was a lot that was on the line for those two teams, but there really wasn't. I mean, yes, home field advantage is important, and, you know, obviously trying to get that bye is important, but the bye is still in front of them and still attainable. Playing two teams that really have nothing to play for right now, I think will help in terms of just getting back on track, but in terms of being prepared to play another good team come playoffs, to me, the Rams have played a lot of good teams this year. You talk about the Chargers, the Vikings. I kind of laugh a little bit when people cherry pick statistics or cherry pick facts and say they've struggled against the playoff teams that they face. Well, they've also beaten, you know, a playoff team twice in the Seattle Seahawks. The Vikings would be in the playoffs right now if the season were to end today. They've beaten them. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They beat the LA Chargers. I almost said San Diego. They beat the LA Chargers. That's a really good team right now. So they have beaten teams that were in the playoffs. The Bears and Eagles are not the only, and Saints are not the only quote unquote playoff teams that they've played this year. They've played more playoff teams and have a winning record against current playoff teams. So, but yeah, I think it does help a little bit that they're playing a lesser opponent these next 2 weeks just to try to get some momentum back.
Yeah, they got to get back in sync and get Jared Goff comfortable again. He just doesn't look super comfortable out there, and you can tell by his throws, and the offensive line doesn't look comfortable, and our defense looks, you know, uncomfortable at times. They just got to get that swagger back, and hopefully these next couple games will set that up. And as we talk about that, you know, you got to start thinking, you got to think of the playoffs, because one, we're clinched, we're in the dance, right? So you got to think ahead a little bit. And last year we sat the starters on week 17. It hasn't really churned up yet, but it's going to come where people are going to start asking McVay, what's the plan? Obviously, a couple weaker opponents, and you hope to get out to some leads. Do you think they're going to start to rest guys like Todd Gurley, who's got a banged-up knee right now? And what's your kind of thought on that moving forward, depending on how things fall out? If we've got really nothing to fight for again in Week 17, but we're playing bad, which direction do you think they'll go?
Well, I think that if they wrap up the home field or the bye before the last game of the season, I think that in that last game of the season, you'll see some selective guys, you know, being held out. You know, first and foremost, you know, Todd Gurley. There's an injury factor there. There's a physical factor there that probably behooves them to try to get him as much, you know, rest as possible, and you know, being able to so that they can ensure that he's as right as possible going into the playoffs. So interestingly, you know, talking to Andrew Whitworth after the game on Sunday, and we were talking about, you know, the bye week coming when it came, and he's like, you know, for him personally, at his age and where his body is, he felt it was a bad thing, actually, ironically enough, because it's the stopping and then restarting again with your body. He felt like in his case, you know, it just gets harder and harder as the years go on. So I'm wondering, you know, for a guy, because if they do clinch the bye week, then they're going to get a bye week and a week off to begin with. So I wonder, for a guy like him, does he want, you know, the time off to give him 2 weeks off, or is that too much, you know, to ask then his body to get it back up and running in a big time way to go play a playoff game? So it'll be interesting to see how certain guys, you know, are handled. But I'm not so sure that they're not going to have anything to play for in that last game of the season, because that's going to require, you know, they have to win two games or win a game and the Bears lose a game. So, you know, if the Bears win this week, then and the Rams win this week, then they'll go into Sunday's game needing to win, basically, or needing a Chicago Bears loss. So that decision might get taken care of, you know, by outside forces.
Yeah, and that's a good point with the bye. It was a late bye in this season, and it much needed when we got it. But like you said, with guys like Andrew Whitworth starting and stopping again, kind of tough to do, especially throw in a holiday season when they took that break. So lots of turkey and coming out slow. But yeah, they've been a little different of a team since that bye.
Oh, and not to mention, you know, for all intents and purposes, they wrapped up the playoffs with that win over the Kansas City Chiefs. I think anyone that had any, you know, had any perspective looked at the rest of the schedule and said, it's going to take a complete collapse on the Rams' part to not win the division and not make the playoffs and probably even, you know, clinch a bye. And coming off of that kind of an emotionally charged win, then going into the bye, kind of knowing that you pretty much had wrapped up a lot of different things with that win. And I'm not trying to make excuses. It's
right.
Just you do that, you go into that bye, and then all of a sudden you have to go play the Detroit Lions and ratchet it back up. And it's just difficult. I think it's more difficult than sometimes we give it credit for. But again, it all goes back to the fact that whatever the case is, the Rams have to get back to playing their kind of football ASAP.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside. We're going to get a couple words from some sponsors. We'll be back with Vinny Bonsignor. We're going to pick his brain on some of the transactions that are happening, injuries, and more. We'll be right back after the break. Rams Nation, listen up right now. This is your chance to win season tickets to the 2019 Rams season. We talked about this before, but Dave Robles is the man, the myth, and the legend. He's been a top producing realtor in LA for over 20 years. I had a chance to talk to Dave. He's an awesome guy. He's from LA, so he knows the city inside and out. He's a really strong negotiator who understands how to get you a good deal on a home or top dollar for your current home if you're selling. Remember, I told that story where he sold that house that was originally on the market for $800,000 for $850,000 and literally put $50,000 back into the client's pocket. This guy knows what he's doing, and he knows LA. He's got excellent Yelp and Zillow reviews, so check him out. Don't forget to visit his website, daverobles.com. That's daverobles.com. Or just call him. He's an awesome guy. 213-712-4343. Tell him that Bear Motter sent you from Locked On Rams, and guess what? He's going to get your Rams 2019 season tickets. If you're moving and you can't take the tickets, don't worry. He'll get you something of equal value. Call him for details. I'm telling you. Had a chance to talk to him. He's been killing it out here in LA. He knows the market top to bottom. He will get you top dollar for your home, or he'll get you into the home you need to be into. Actually, when I saw that season tickets were on the line, I might be moving myself, so come join me. Check out the website, daverobles.com, or call him, 213-712-4343, for your chances to win a 2019 Rams season tickets. All right, before we get over to the next segment, I want to remind everyone that this episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Cool thing is, Action Heat is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to the heated seats that you would have in your car. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees, and they are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. This is a perfect item for any family or friends on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone that works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, anybody that loves outdoors or hate being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heating jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Heat Action. Heat Action is available in men's, women's, and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Awesome thing is, we've got a special deal just for our listeners, 20% off your entire order. Just go to heataction.com/lockedon. Check out everything Heat Action has to offer. heataction.com/lockedon. Use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you're enjoying your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, Rams Nation, we are back with Vinny Bonsignore. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow on Twitter at Vinny Bonsignore. Vinny, yesterday was kind of a crazy day. The Rams released Farrell Cooper, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of us, that was kind of, we didn't see that coming. We knew we needed to add a running back for some depth with some injury, but I think people thought maybe another name would be flying out there. Talk to me about losing Farrell Cooper and then, you know, adding C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. Number one, Todd Gurley, his knee obviously was an issue on Sunday. Justin Davis has an injury that I'm not quite sure what, you know, his status is going to be for Sunday or moving forward. So there was obvious need to address the depth at running back. As far as Farrell Cooper, you know, I think from the Rams' perspective, he was the number five wide receiver, hadn't really, nudged anybody aside on the depth chart in that regard. So his opportunities at wide receiver were non-existent, basically. And then, you know, kick returner, because of the nature of the rules these days, I wouldn't say that it's an obsolete position, but it's a position that's, you know, not as important as it was. And they don't, I think they value JoJo Natson more on the punt return, than Farrell in that regard. So basically, because of his usage at wide receiver and the kind of an impact that kick returners have these days, he was the odd man out. They believe he's a good player. I think that he'll land on his feet somewhere, and hopefully for him get a better chance to crack a wide receiver rotation. But it just wasn't happening here, and so he became expendable.
And then with that, you know, is there a chance for him to clear waivers and then he could rejoin us on a practice squad, or is it likely he'll get picked up?
That's a good question. I think there's some teams, you know, he was pretty, you know, highly regarded coming out of college. You know, I know that he had the injury and that set him back, this year. I was unfortunate for him. But, you know, I think that if I'm another team, you know, and then I have a little bit of need at wide receiver, why not give him a look these next couple of weeks, these next couple of games, to see if he's somebody that you want to bring back for training camp? Is that a possibility that he signs the practice squad? You know, probably, maybe. But if I'm him, at the same time, you know, they've already told me that, look, you know, we don't feel that you're more right now than a wide receiver or fifth wide receiver and a kickoff returner. So that pretty much tells you, if you're him, you know, where they see you. There's 31 other teams. You would think that there's another team or two that see him more than just that. So if I'm his agent, I'm working the phones to see if there's, even as a practice squad player, for another team, but with a better opportunity on the big club.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we talked about it earlier, and, you know, we saw Brown, the same thing with him when he got suspended for 2 games, and Blythe took that over and never looked back. And same with JoJo. JoJo stepped in and took on that return duty, and until, you know, last game was doing really good at it, and I still think he's going to do fine with it. That was what he called a fluke incident, and, you know, got to control the ball a little bit better. But obviously the Rams believe that he is the guy moving forward, at least for this year. So best of luck to Farrow. And then C.J. Anderson. Signed him, obviously, for some depth. I'm assuming that, you know, John Kelly will then step in as the backup, and CJ, at least for this week, will go behind him. But talk to us about, you know, how fast we could see him get involved into this team. And then, you know, again, you know, he's been a good running back in this league before, especially with the Broncos. Talk to us a little bit about him and what we can expect from CJ Anderson.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good signing for the Rams, you know, because you're not, you know, it's not just Justin Davis that you're replacing. It's basically Malcolm Brown. And, you know, does C.J. Anderson give you more value as a complete kind of a guy than John Kelly or Justin Davis? So certainly from, you know, an experience factor, yes, he does. And you know, if I'm the Rams, you know, my finish line isn't, you know, December 30th. It's hopefully much further than that.
Right, right.
And who can help us more for our postseason objectives? Is it a guy like CJ who's been there, done that, and has proven himself a guy that can run the ball? He can catch the ball out of the backfield. And I'd have to look at his blocking metrics, but you figure he's been on the field enough to be able to have that, you know, pretty nailed down as well. So maybe he's the guy who can be the guy for them behind Todd Gurley in one package, rather than having to split it up between, you know, Justin and John Kelly. So it'll be interesting. You know, I think that, you know, you've got 2 games to kind of check that out and kind of see it and see if he's going to be, you know, a guy that you can rely on into the playoffs. But I thought it was a good signing. At the very least, you know, you get a chance to look at him and to gauge it and to see it. But I would not be surprised, you know, if he had a bit of a more prominent role than the two young guys.
Yeah, we'll have to see how he fits in. You're right, that veteran kind of addition, and he's been there, done that. And I think we're still excited to see John Kelly. I know I was excited when he got in there. Obviously, it was Todd Gurley on the sideline, but at least to start getting him some reps and see what he's got. But crazy to see. You know, at the beginning of the season, we had so much depth at the running back spot, you know, that were basically where Kelly and Justin Davis weren't starting. Malcolm Brown was such a great backup, but, you know, the injury bug. Although, if you look at the big picture, we've been pretty fortunate as far as big-time names, but it really went after that running back position in the last few weeks. So we'll see what CJ can bring to the team. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside, take our last break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk some Pro Bowl. We're also going to look ahead to this Arizona game. More with Vinny Bonsignor on the other side. All right, we are back, third and final segment. I'm Bear Motter. We've got Vinny Bonsignor with us. Vinny, along with all the news with, you know, the release of Cooper and the signing of Anderson, yesterday the Pro Bowl selections came out, and the Rams had four. I was a little surprised, and I know they haven't been playing super well, and it's a fan vote and things like that. But talk to me about what your thoughts were with the Pro Bowl selections. Maybe any snubs on the Rams that you thought?
Yeah, you know, I felt like the one that jumps out is John Johnson, their you know, second year safety, who's having a really nice year. You know, I thought Robert Woods, to me, he's because there's not really a featured wide receiver in the, you know, amongst the Rams. They spread it out pretty well. You know, I think people are still undervaluing what he brings and his ability. So those are two guys that I felt could have gotten some consideration. But all things considered, you know, I thought the vote was pretty favorable for the Rams. I mean, Jared Goff over the course of the year, you know, obviously deserved consideration. You know, Aaron Donald speaks for himself. Todd Gurley speaks for himself. So, you know, Corey Littleton doing what he does special teams wise, you're not going to get a better special teams guy than he is. So I thought they got it right for the most part. You know, yeah, there's the guys that you said, oh, they probably, you know, deserved an opportunity, but you know, there's 32 teams and it's a fan vote, and not anyone, everyone, all the voters are going to be as nuanced, you know, as you would hope sometimes. So there will be snubs. There's no question about it, especially for a guy like John, who's, you know, just in his second year and isn't a household name, and you know, is the guy that people are just now kind of coming around to in terms of, you know, what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I saw him tweet out on about kind of the reaction to it, and he was pretty bummed about it. But I think long-term, I think he's going to be just fine, and if he keeps playing like that, he'll get his way. Like you said, the national attention, people just kind of not knowing the ins and outs of this team. But yeah, those were probably a couple ones that I really liked were Woods and then John Johnson. And then I just thought someone from our offensive line should be represented. I know the past three games have been pretty bad for them, but the beginning of the season, they were one of the best offensive lines out the gate. And Andrew Whitworth, I mean, that's kind of an easy pick for the veteran, or, you know, even Blythe that we talked about stepping in and having a great early season. So a couple guys there, and hopefully, I mean, kind of the big picture there is that, you know, hopefully we skip that game and we got more important things to worry about than the Pro Bowl. Yeah. And that's more of just kind of one of those things you can hang on your mantle next to your Super Bowl trophy. But, you know, I guess that will play itself out over time here. And as we look ahead, and we got the Arizona Cardinals this week, and a great time to kind of pad some stats, even though the Pro Bowl voting's over, to kind of show some of those voters that they were wrong. We've got Rosen, who came off of a really bad performance, and really as a team, a bad performance, and a season, a pretty bad performance. I just did a crossover with the Locked On Arizona guys, and we talked about, you know, Rosen and his future, and Fitzgerald and his future, and Patrick Peterson and his future. So there's a lot of things going on in the Arizona organization. But what do you see in this game as a challenge that the Rams might face? And I know we're pretty confident about the Rams going in and winning, but what would the Cardinals have to do to kind of make this game interesting?
Well, I think it's more what do the Rams not do to make it interesting? And actually, it's coming off the two games that they had. That's a fascinating question. So, and not to disrespect, you know, the Cardinals by any means, but you know, we need to see some signs that the Rams are, you know, back to where they need to be. And I think it has very, very, very little to do with what the Cardinals are going to do or what they're not going to do. I think it's A, you know, is the offensive line going to step up to the challenge of regaining their form? Their numbers have dipped considerably the last few weeks. The interior of the line, John Sullivan and Austin Blythe, have been struggling. They need to get back, you know, on track. Obviously, Jared Goff, whether he's being pressured or has a clean pocket, he needs to be, you know, more certain and more decisive with his throwing. Far too often over these last couple of games, he's been throwing off his back foot. He hasn't been, you know, scanning the field like he was earlier in the season. There was a lot of targets to Josh Reynolds when other guys were, you know, where's Brandon Cooks? Where's Robert Woods? You know, where's the spreading of the wealth like they were doing earlier in the year? So, you know, can the offensive line run blocks so that Todd Gurley can get going on a consistent basis? It's been start and stop, start and stop. Can they avoid the dumb penalties that they've been taking? Can they take care of the ball? To me, it's all about the Rams going into this game. And again, nothing against the Cardinals, and I understand the question. You know, what can they do to make this kind of a you know, closer game than it should be? But for me, I'm way more focused on, you know, what Rams team are we going to see, you know, come Sunday? Because if it's the Rams that we saw for the first 12 weeks of the season, then everything else should take care of itself, regardless of what the Cardinals do.
Yeah, no, that's a great answer, and you're right. It's really, at this point, the way that they've been playing, it's really on the Rams to come out and just play. And if they do what they're supposed to do those first, you know, 11 weeks that we saw, then this should be, you know, mop-up duty, kind of like in week two when we took care of them with ease, and we played them pretty well mm-hmm. over the last few years, even going on the road or even playing them in London. It really hadn't mattered where we're playing against these guys. We've handled business, so hopefully that's something to kind of bounce them back. Let's just look into the future here, and let's give a game ball away right now. Who do you think will win the game ball? If the Rams go and do exactly what we just talked about and win this game, who would you think is going to be the guy that you're going to go, yeah, that's an easy game ball for me?
I'm going to say Jared Goff. You know, he's been taking a little bit of a beating these last couple of weeks. Some of it deserved. I think some of it is the result on, you know, 10 other guys that are around him than just himself. But I think the offensive line is going to be up to the challenge and accept that challenge. You know, I think it starts from there. And then I think that's going to reflect in what Jared does. And I think that, come Sunday around 4:30 or so, and we'll all see the video that the Rams, you know, put out on social media of the post-game comments and the game balls being given out. And I'm going to say that Jared Goff gets one of them.
Yeah, I like it. And if I would pick one on defense, I think it's another big Aaron Donald day. He's been shut down for 2 weeks. It's been a huge focus. But that O-line over there is struggling. I don't know even if they have three guys that could go, it would even matter. I think he's got to be pent up on needing a sack. So on the defense side of the ball, I'd probably pick Aaron Donald. But Jared Goff, I hope he gets a game ball, because you're right. He needs to kind of get some confidence back, put up some big numbers. And you know, we always talk about it, beating the teams that you're supposed to beat and doing it in the fashion you're supposed to. So to finish the show, we always do it. MyBookie, big sponsor of the show. They got us as 13.5 favorites on the road. Talk to me about the spread. Do we cover?
Ooh, 13.5, huh? They should. They absolutely should. But I'm going to say they don't cover, but I'm going to say they still win in a convincing way.
Yeah, I've got them covering. When I did my score prediction earlier, I was 34-17, so I got them covering there. But in the weird way, when I was talking to those Cardinals guys, the way that we're playing, I wouldn't be shocked if this thing gets a little bit closer than it should be, and maybe that's some adversity in the game that they can fight through. So I say they cover, but at the end of the day, the way that they've been playing, I wouldn't be shocked if we didn't. We'll find out on Sunday. Travel safe down there, Vinny. We're looking forward to following your coverage. Guys, at Vinny Bonsignor, The Athletic LA, check them out. We'll talk to you next week, and have fun down at the game.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bear. Have a good one, man. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate it. Joe Blow to everybody on your no. I bought my whole family whips, no Volvos. Next time I'm in church, please no photos. Police escorts, everybody.